In our third message, and we're studying a series of the spiritual realm and things we need to know. And the title of today's message is Your Daily Armor. And so we're going to look at one piece of that armor because I think it's too important to just move pretty quickly past it. Because with this one piece of armor, it sets the stage for all the other pieces of armor that we wear. But look at Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 13. And let's read through verse 17. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. God, we pray this morning that we would understand what it means having put on the armor and the belt of truth, girding our waist with the belt of truth. And Lord, that's our goal and that's our challenge today, Lord. And we pray you'd speak directly to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, everything that God has created has been created with some kind of a defense system. You look at a porcupine and you make a porcupine mad. Porcupine looks pretty safe and gentle until you make it mad. Then those quills come out. Why does he do that? It's so he can defend himself against his adversary. Everything that God has created has some kind of a defense system. I love to watch birds and stuff like that, and it's amazing to me, and especially when you go deer hunting and you're not seeing any deer and you get to looking at everything else, and you see lizards and birds that look just like the branches that they're on. There are certain lizards that can make themselves look like the surroundings that they're in. And God does that because he creates. He is a creator. Things didn't come into existence because there was some big bang in the sky. It came into existence because God created it. And he put defense systems in it. Now you say, well, that's well and good, but how does that apply to me? Well, here's how it applies. When you're created in Christ at your new birth, when you were born again, God has put into your creation a defense system because he knows you have an adversary called the devil. In the last 2 weeks, we've looked a lot at Satan and how he works. And so today we're going to look at how to defend ourselves against the devil. In fact, it reminds me, when I go deer hunting, and maybe you do the same thing, and when I was younger, I really did this, and my mother can attest to this. I even put on the camouflage makeup when I'd go deer hunting. I mean, I had camouflage coats and pants, camouflage air. I was camouflage all over. And I put my clothes in a box full of cedar limbs so I'd smell like a cedar tree when I walked out in the woods. Camouflage on my ears and on my face. I had so much camouflage, I couldn't find my way out of the woods. I blended with them. And that's what God wants. Listen, God wants you and I to understand how to blend with his son, Jesus Christ. That's your camouflage. How to blend with the son. How to look like Jesus. How to act like Jesus. How to think like Jesus. So that when the adversary comes your way, you're ready and you're armed and you're ready to put him to flight instead of he putting you to flight. Look at the scriptures. And the first thing I want us to look at is your daily armor is the belt of truth. Look at verse 14. He says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. That's called the belt of truth in the spiritual armor. Having girded your waist with truth. Now, there's something I want to point out real quick. You see that word having in verse 14? Stand therefore, having. Does anybody have a different word right there? You'll notice that word three times. Stand therefore having girded your waist with truth. Now keep following me. Here it is again. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And then look at verse 15. Here's that word again. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's the first piece, the first three pieces of armor that Paul is telling us about. Now watch the difference. Look at verse 16. above all taking. Instead of the word having, we have the word taking. Above all taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Verse 17, here it is again, and take. It's not the word having. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, why is that important that you see the difference in the words? The first three pieces of armor are pieces of armor that you are given at salvation. You couldn't even be saved if you hadn't come to the knowledge of the truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the first three pieces of armor are having. That's something you wear every day of the week. The second set of armor, three pieces of armor after that, are something you take up. Now, Paul was right when he said, having put on or girded your waist with the truth. That was a picture of the belt. Remember, in their day, they wore those robes. Glad we don't live in their day and men have to wear robes. But they wore those robes, and they would take that belt, and that belt was a leather belt, and it would hold everything together. In fact, I have to wear a belt. Teresa, I tell you that. A belt keeps your shirt tucked in. Well, you know all the things that the belt does. The belt takes care of everything. What does it do? The belt holds everything together. But from the belt, I used to hang a tape measure. You can put your cell phone. I mean, from that belt, you can put all kinds of things. You can hang keys from your belt. It's got a lot of uses. And so the belt that they would wear, that leather belt, they would attach a sword to that. They would attach other things that they needed. And if they had to go into battle, they could literally tuck in or gird up their loins. They could literally tuck in the robe that was hanging down so that they could fight in a battle. And so Paul's saying, if you want to have it held together in life, you better have on the belt of truth so you can be together in life. Apart from truth, you can't keep it together. And so the belt of truth is the first thing that we need. Turn to John. Well, you don't have to turn there because you probably got it memorized. But remember John chapter 14, verse 6. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, that's really important because when we come to Jesus, we not only come to the way, we not only come to the life, we come to the truth. We know the truth. The truth sets us free. Listen, the truth, I can share the truth of God, even in this congregation, but there may be some that reject that truth. That doesn't mean that they're automatically saved because they heard the truth. They have to accept that truth. But it's knowing the truth that sets us free. We have to know the truth, and when we know the truth, we'll be set free. We'll be free indeed. And that leads us to our next point. We need to internalize truth to recognize the lie. You have to internalize it to recognize the lie. I'll tell you a good illustration of that is think about Pilate. Remember Pilate? And I'm going to flip there. It's in John chapter 18 because I want to read that. But remember, Pilate is standing before the Lord, and Pilate's been bothered about Jesus, and he's struggling with finding. He can't find any guilt in Jesus. He can't find anything that Jesus has done wrong. And so Pilate has Jesus standing before him. Jesus has been arrested. It's just prior to the cross. And the Bible says in verse 37 of chapter 18 of John, he says, Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered. Now you got to love Jesus' answer. Listen to it closely. You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born. And for this cause, notice that word cause. And for this cause I have come into the world. Notice the motive of that. That I should bear witness to the truth. That I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears somebody else's voice, hears philosophy, hears some religion of all the choices of religions in the world. He says, no, it's a person. He says, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Now, those who are of the truth have what? They have internalized that truth. That's why it's having, that's why it's something that is to be. Is the Greek. It's to be. It's something that's already there. It's been put there. But we grieve the Spirit when we don't put it to use because it's already there. In other words, God is saying, you've got what you need to get through the lies and the deception of this world. And you say, well, how do you internalize it and why is that important? Well, listen, if you internalize it, you'll recognize the lies that are in the world. Now, remember what Satan did. And I don't want to get into last week's message, but remember, Satan lost his domain. I mean, there he was in heaven. He was Lucifer. He was this great and morning light in heaven. And he was before he fell. And there he was. And Satan is so deceptive. Don't think you can fight and argue against Satan and win without the truth of God. Because a third of the angels fell according to Revelation. He took his tail, the tail of the serpent, and he swept out one third of those angels. And he caused them to rebel against God. He convinced even the angels, or at least a third of them, to rebel against God. And I'm telling you, the first war that creation has ever seen broke out in heaven. I mean, when you have a third of the angels and you have Satan rebelling against God, don't think there isn't fixing to be a battle. And I mean, war broke out in heaven and Michael fought with the dragon. And I mean, the Lord stomped his head and he finished it at the resurrection. And then he's ultimately going to finish it when he comes back. And I want to tell you, Satan lost the battle. The first war there ever was in human history, heaven's history, was when he rebelled. And he got kicked to the earth. And at the earth, he wanted domain. And at the earth, he wants power. And you can see that power he tries to exert today as he tries to convince people to reject God, to reject the Bible, to reject truth. And that's Satan at war with God. And since he can't win in the heavenly places, he's trying to fight it in the earthly places. And our job is being under a new domain, no longer the domain of Adam, but now we are under the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the truth, in a new domain. And as we war in that new domain, it is us, as we are armed with the truth and as we are salt and light and love, and we proclaim that grace that is in Jesus Christ, it puts the devil to flight, because the devil can't stand in the name of Jesus. He can't stand before it because it's too powerful. He can defeat a lot of things. It's kind of like I'm not going to use the Dotson dogs, Teresa, where did Teresa go? I'm not going to use the Dotson dogs, but it's like a dog. Well, it's like a gun that doesn't have any more bullets. At Calvary, Jesus disarmed the devil, but the devil's still out there barking. Teresa and I went to this lady's house one time. I left my coat there. I'd been doing some plumbing works when I had my plumbing business, and it was after church, and I said, Teresa, let's go by Miss So-and-so's house and pick up my jacket. And there was a beware of dog sign on the chain link fence gate. And I got out of the car, and Teresa said, well, it says beware of dog. I said, oh, I've seen those dogs. Just little old bitty Dotsons. They can't hurt nobody. Satan was filling me with an ego over them Dotson dogs. And I walked through that gate and I got attacked by 7 Dotsons. I want to tell you, I switched to Nissan after that. But those Dotsons, they had a hold of my leg. I had puncture wounds. I had blood coming down my legs. And those Dotsons, they didn't look like they were very fierce because of their size. Let me tell you, when you face the devil, don't fight him in the flesh, because you'll have puncture wounds. You've got to fight the devil in the spiritual realm if you're going to win. And so Pilate realizes, he says, well, what is truth? In John chapter 18, he says Jesus had shared with him that he is the king, and everyone who here is of the truth hears his voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him at all. You see, man today is still asking, what is truth? And in this postmodern world we live in, folks are calling truth relative. They say, what you want to believe is your business. What I want to believe is my business. Who are you to tell me what is truth? Well, I'll tell you who I am to tell anybody what is truth, that I don't have it. But I have Jesus Christ, and I have the Word of God, and all the prophecies of this book are being fulfilled perfectly. All the prophecies of Jesus' birth and his crucifixion fulfilled perfectly. And you can trust the Bible because it is truth. And you can trust Jesus because he came to bear witness of this truth. And look at all the centrality of this book. Listen, if the centrality of this book was not Jesus Christ and the cross of Jesus and the resurrection, then we would be afraid of this book. But because God has written it over a 1500 to 1600 year period, and he has made the cross central to the scriptures, you can trust this book as the truth. And I'll tell you, if we don't get it inside us, it's not going to come out of us externally. It has to be inside us. Satan wants to use lies to replace your first love. It's interesting that we're reading about this in Ephesians chapter 6 about the belt of truth. And it's interesting that Paul is addressing all of the things and the wiles of the enemy here in chapter 6. In fact, it's called the spiritual warfare chapter of the Bible, that in 2 Corinthians 10:4. And so you look at this scripture, and what you have here is a church. Remember the church of Ephesus in Revelation? Remember what Jesus told them when he was examining the seven churches, and he comes to Ephesus, chapter 2, verse 1? I think verse 4 he says that, here's the problem. You've left your first love. Now, when you got saved, who's your first love? Jesus. Jesus. When I came to know Christ, that was my first love. So you say, what is my first love? Well, my first love was hunting and trapping and fishing. That was my first love. Well, Teresa. Don't forget Teresa. She was also my first love. But when I came to know Jesus Christ, well, you got to be careful when you're preaching. When I first came to know Jesus Christ, it's Jesus. When you first came to know Jesus Christ, it's Jesus. He's your first love. And what do you want to tell people? The truth is in Jesus. The next day after I got saved, I went straight to work. We were in Corsicana. And I mean, the day before, I was drinking in the bars and everything else. But that next day after getting saved, I didn't want any of that life anymore because a new creation, a new creature had been established, a new creation that came with some defense mechanisms for the enemy. And I knew one of the strategies of the enemy was lies. And everybody I saw that next day went to, I think it was called the Ark. It was a Christian bookstore, bought a bunch of New Testaments, was handing them out to people and telling them, you need Jesus. Don't let anybody fool you. It's not about religion. It's not about philosophy. It's not about whether you're Baptist or Assembly of God or Church of Christ or whatever. Listen, it's not about any of those things. It's about the person and the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you at the cross. That's what salvation's all about. I've learned the truth. See what it does? That's the belt of truth that you have. Satan wants to steal and lie so that you'll leave your first love and you can replace it with another first love. Then the next one is we specialize in truth. We specialize in it. There's three things you might want to write down real quickly. You can see it in John chapter 14. It's very important that we understand the role of the Holy Spirit when it comes to truth. Starting in verse 13. Now listen to what Jesus says as he discusses things that are coming to pass when he sends the Holy Spirit and the things that God wants to do in their lives. He says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified. That the Father may be glorified. Who in? In the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Listen to this. Have you ever felt like you're beating your head against a brick wall when somebody just don't understand the way you live and why you live that way? It's because the Spirit of truth has to be received in the heart before a person can have spiritual discernment. He says, whom the world cannot receive, this is the Holy Spirit, because it neither sees him nor knows him. There's the key word, knows. Nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Now I want to give you, and I can't miss verse 18 in light of the song that we sang a while ago about never forsaken. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. You're never forsaken in the Lord. There's three things you might want to jot down that identifies what the belt of truth is. You say, what is the belt of truth? Well, first, we know it's Jesus. But here it is. Here's how the Holy Spirit works. Holy Spirit, he guides you into all truth. That's one of his jobs. He guides you into all truth. Here's the second one. He will tell you things to come. He will tell you things to come. In other words, he gives you spiritual discernment. In other words, he makes the Word of God illuminated as a light in your heart. He tells you When you're reading in the book of Revelation or you're reading in different prophetic places of the Bible, he's telling you things that are, things that will be, and things that come. We wouldn't know Jesus is coming back if the Holy Spirit didn't reveal that truth from the Word of God. Now, it's real interesting because these are, remember, those that you have, you're not taking up. So you say, well, how do I make what's internal show up? Listen to it. Think about it like this. What's internal will show up external and reveal what's eternal. What's internal will show up external and reveal what's internal, eternal. You know, one of the things I love about this church is all the servants in this church. This is a serving church, let me tell you. I mean, I have to find out what's going on too every week. There's so much going on. Y'all know why all those cars are out there today? Is there a wedding or a funeral? Or no, it's some committee doing this and that. I love that. This church is so busy, day after day after day, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays. Come up here on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. There's people all the time up here because it's a serving church. It's revealing that something internal has caused a situation to be manifested externally, and it's all about what Jesus has done and God is doing eternally. That's why this church serves. And I didn't know that Kevin was going to sing this song today, but I had it in my message because it's so true. The longer I serve him, Bill Gaither wrote that song. Now listen to the words. Since I started for the kingdom, since my life he controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Did you get that? The more that I love him, more love he bestows. That's true. The Bible says, if you love me, you will obey me. Each day is like heaven. My heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Every need he is supplying. Plenteous grace he bestows. Every day my way gets brighter. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. It makes it special to serve the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. There's something special about that. I want to share the last one. We're running out. I've got a lot of sermon left and not enough time here, so I'm going to have to skip on down. We need truth to legitimize our worship. When we come to the Lord to worship, whether it's worshiping in song, whether it's an act of worship, whatever we're doing, when we come to the Lord, our worship can never be legitimate apart from truth. In other words, a lost person can sing the song. I can remember before I became a Christian and God used it. And I couldn't remember any of the hymns except for a little bit of Amazing Grace. But before I became a Christian, I was working on a barbed wire fence out in the woods. I was under a lot of conviction. I had already moved back. Remember, there was a 6-month period from the time I moved back, from working out of state until the time that I moved or got saved. And in that period of time, I was building fence. And the Holy Spirit kept reminding me of that song, Because He Lives. Man, I was out there driving T-post and crying, and the Lord was wooing me, being drawn of the Father. He's saying, I love you. I'm going to change you. I love you. Doesn't matter where you're at, God can reach you right where you are. And He was reaching me right out there on that barbed wire fence. It's under tremendous conviction. But I didn't understand who Jesus was, but He was leading me to that place. But after I got saved, I realized that He is the truth. Now when I sing Because He Lives, my worship is legitimate because it was legitimized by salvation. It was legitimized by the truth revealed in the Word of God. I can't stress enough the importance of getting in the Bible and learning the Bible, reading the Bible. I mean, literally, start connecting the dots. Listen, don't be afraid, well, I might accidentally connect it wrong or make a mistake. The Holy Spirit will deal with you in that kind of stuff. The Holy Spirit will straighten you out where you end up with an error. The Holy Spirit will reveal more and more. And the more I've learned the Scriptures, the more I've realized over time there's things I didn't quite understand right. And I have to look at it in a different light. Why? Because the more that I serve Him, the more that I grow in the Word of God, the more I understand this truth, listen, and it becomes a necessary part of my daily life. It's necessary when you come to a place and you've got a witness that you boldly stand for the truth of God and that you do it in love and grace. It's necessary that you understand how to resist temptation by the Word of God. It's necessary when the world is falling apart around you and maybe sickness and illness has invaded your life or invaded your home or your family. It's necessary that you understand the truth of God so that you can put it into perspective. Because apart from it, we can't. So we need truth to legitimize our worship. Now think about this. Truth is predetermined by God and not man. It's predetermined by God. There's no such thing as what's true for you may not be true for me. There's one truth. God created us with a principle called truth. And that truth is truth whether we want to believe it or not. The truth does not change because we reject it. 2 + 2 = 5. Sounds like y'all are of the truth. 2 + 2 = really 3. And so we know that truth does not change. But that's how sly the devil brings in and tries to create a lie. Jesus said, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. When Jesus encountered the woman at the well in John chapter 4, remember, he come to her and she said, well, our fathers worshiped on this mountain. And Jesus said, there's a time coming where it won't be on this mountain or on that mountain. It's going to be, listen, in a spirit of truth. In other words, God seeks those who worship him. They must worship him in spirit and in truth. The truth of the Word of God legitimizes our worship so that when we stand before God and we begin to worship, we're not worshiping from the foundation of any lies. We're worshiping from the foundation of the truth. That's why I love the songs we sing on Sundays and I love the hymns that we sing because many of those hymns and songs were written right off the pages of the Scriptures so that we could legitimately come before the Lord and worship Him in truth. It is a necessary part of our worship. It's very important. And Brother Kevin does a great job with it. Now I want to ask you a question before we close. Whenever it comes to truth, are you putting it internally? You say, I know Jesus, and I get whatever I get when I come to church. But I want to ask you, are you finding a time to apply the truth to your situation? The best way to study the Bible, now you want to have a daily time with the Lord if you can, but the best way to study the Bible is apply it to your situation. When you have a situation at work or you have a situation in your life, the first thing you do before you look at logic is you get with your wife or you get with your husband or you get with your kids. I do this all the time with Caitlin. You get with your kids and you solve the dilemma with the truth of the Word of God first and through prayer, not through human wisdom and human understanding, because you'll get the fruit of that and it's a human reward and it will not solve your problem. But when you come to God and you see it from His perspective, then He gives you discernment. The Holy Spirit declares things about that truth to you, and then you understand how to pray, because truth now legitimizes your worship, which affects your prayer. So now you're praying according to the truth, you're making decisions according to the truth, and because you're doing that, now it is showing up in your life. Why? Because you have engaged God in your situation. God is now engaged in your situation, and He has a right and a rule and a sovereign desire to enter into that situation and help you solve it. But He has to be invited in to that situation. That's why Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is there. He needs to be invited in. Don't expect Him to come solve all your problems if you don't want Him to. If you don't want Him to solve them, He'll just stand there until you do. He'll convict you, and He'll say, well, hey, here I am. Here I am. The question is, do you have the goods when you come to the problem? Do you have the goods? Are the goods in your heart? It reminds me of an allegorical poem that is so true. Listen to this poem and listen real close to it. A tiger met a lion as they sat beside a pool. Said the tiger to the lion, "Why are you roaring like a fool?" "That's not foolish," said the lion with a twinkle in his eyes. "They call me the king of all beasts because I advertise." A rabbit heard them talking, ran on like a streak. He thought he would try the lion's plan, but his roar was just a squeak. A fox came to investigate and had lunch in the woods. "And so, my friend, when you advertise, be sure to have the goods." That rabbit advertised, but he ended up becoming a meal. We have to internalize truth. We specialize in truth and legitimize our worship by truth.